with
homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what happens if it's so identified with a previous incarnation, maybe the gender that they're expressing in this lifetime?
Some souls, if the last life was a real powerful life, powerful meaning that one was fully expressing oneself in that body. You know, some people are really there, how do we say, comfortable in your own skin. You're really in your body, you're present, you love it, and you're expressing. And some people are not like that at all. They're not comfortable in their own skin, or sometimes they're walking around, but you can see they're not actually in their body. They're not really. They're floating out there someplace. So if somebody has a powerful life where they're really present in a body, say, as a man, okay, and he's got a real strong attraction to women. Polar opposite. Now he comes into his next life as a woman. So his attraction or taste or what he's drawn to is women. That's his imprint from past life. So that's an example of it. Is that true in every case? No. Not necessarily. In the Vedic tradition, homosexuality's always been there. If you look at Sanskrit, you've got three genders in Sanskrit language. Most languages that have genders, such as Spanish or Italian or French, have two genders. Masculine and feminine. So the words are either, you know, masculine or feminine words. That doesn't mean they're feminine necessarily. But in Sanskrit, there's three genders. There's strilingam, feminine gender. There's punglingam, masculine gender. And kleeblingam, neuter. So neuter is that. You can read in various stories in the Vedas, there are, you know, either eunuchs. Eunuchs were, you know, but you read a lot about that and historically, eunuchs. Or, I mean, people who are, it's like a person is female, but they're in a male body. Or they're male, but they're in a female body. It's difficult karma to deal with. And a lot of the people who have to deal with that are very troubled. And they go through identity crises. And generally they do that in their teen years, which for any regular person who's vibrating in harmony with the gender that they have, it's bad enough. Becoming who you are, realizing your individuality while going through puberty and getting a sense of your identity, it's difficult. Yet, being in a body that you think is foreign to what you feel inside. It's not easy karma at all. It's difficult karma. I have many, many, many gay and lesbian clients, and I have had for years, from all parts of the world. And depends, you know, some of them are very comfortable in their sexuality, and some of them are not. Back in the 90s, from the early 90s, when I was in L.A., I had a lot of gay clients come to me, a lot of gay boys coming to me, because being gay in L.A., I mean, there's a lot of scope for it. A lot of scope. You know, big cities, there's more scope for it. And, you know, you got your spots and your area and all that stuff. But that's when there was an outbreak of AIDS and HIV. So I was right there watching all that. And what I learned from that, of course, this is not a scientific study, but this was my experience with a lot of these gay boys, I say boys, men, were coming to see me. And what I discovered was the ones that were real comfortable in their sexuality, and it wasn't a big issue, and they weren't having an identity crisis, and they didn't really care about society, society's opinions, what to speak of family. I mean, that's the real difficulty, is, you know, coming out to your family, you know, and or if you're a prominent person in society, coming out, it's difficult. Anyway, the ones that were comfortable generally were fine. The ones that were struggling with guilt the most and feeling guilty about their sexual orientation, having let down their family or not being accepted in the norm of society, those are the ones that got AIDS. Those were the ones that contracted HIV. Back in those days. And I saw many examples of it. Again, I don't claim it to be a scientific study, but, you know, that's my experience. I have gay couples, men and women, that have been clients of mine for 25 years. So I've talked to them for years and years and years, you know, over time. So, I mean, you have the ones that are just in relationship. And then, of course, then you have the ones that are out of control, which is usually the younger ones. When I say out of control, I mean, you know, sometimes the energy is... It's like anything else, though. Your energy could be in whatever chakra you put your energy into. If people are obsessed with sex and sexuality, whether they're gay or straight, then your energy is all focused in the second chakra. You know, if you want to be gay, then be gay. But we don't need to know about your sexual orientation. You know, it's not that important. Just like if we're heterosexual, we don't have to go on and on about being heterosexual or orientation. You know. So, but that really, it's not so much about being gay. It depends on consciousness. And what are you focused on? You know. But it's not an easy karmic birth. Because, you know, life is difficult enough as is. Without having this on top when you're effectively having an identity crisis. I know many, many, many gay men who never, never played it out. They just won't. They just, I said, well, have you been in a relationship? No. Have you thought about it? Yeah. Can't bring myself to do it. And I've met many who aren't gay, but they're being gay. That also happens.
I think that's very prevalent in society at the moment.
This one guy said one time, I was so moving, I was shocked. This man was in so much pain. He's about 40s, you know, in his 40s. I listened to him. He said, he was in front of a bunch of people. We were at Louise Hay's house. I was in her house with, you know, doing a Wednesday night program. She was doing it. And a lot of gay boys would come there. lots. And he says, I'm a gay man, but I'm not a gay man. I don't want to be a gay man. I don't know how not to be a gay man. I don't know how to get out of it. And I've suffered all these years since I was 16. You're wondering, well. He said, I went out with this girl when I was 16. I think it might have been like a prom or a graduation or some big date, you know. Not just a date, but some occasion, if I remember correctly. And he got home late. You know, he took the girl home. He got home a little later. And his mother's sitting up, you know. Where were you? Well, we were just, you know, we've all done it. Well, we did this and that. It took a little longer and, you know, nothing happened. Nothing happened between him and the girl. And she says, what if you make that girl pregnant? You'll ruin her life. That's what she told him. If you get that girl pregnant, you will ruin her life. Now here's a 16-year-old looking at his mother in the dark of night. You know what your mother says, what your parents say. These are powerful statements when you're a kid. This man was a lovely man. He was a boy who did not want to ruin anyone's life. The last thing he could imagine was himself ruining some poor girl's life by getting her pregnant. It had such an impact on him that he couldn't go near women. He was attracted to women. He was attracted to girls. That's what he wanted. And he could never, from that day forward, bring himself to go out with another girl. So when he got into his early 20s and his, you know, his sexual interest became too strong, there was only one thing for him to do, and that was to become a gay man. And so there he was at 40, sitting there, tears rolling down his face. I'm a gay man, but I'm not a gay man. I don't want to be a gay man anymore, but I don't know what to do. The other thing I learned over the years was there's two kinds of gay people. And I'm careful when I talk about these subjects. I don't talk about them too often. There's two kinds of gay people. The ones that are born, the ones that are made. He's made. He wasn't born that way. He was made into a gay man for the reasons given. The ones that are born, that's fine. You know, and they discover that they're different, and we spoke about that. The ones that are made, more often than not, I'm talking mostly about men now, are made because of a dominant mother figure, more often than not. I've seen it astrologically over and over and over with clients. The mother is messed up. And whatever she does, because it's different in so many cases, this guy has a twisted relationship, or I should say correctly, she has a twisted relationship with her son. And she projects all kinds of stuff on him. I won't even get into all those details. And so he becomes confused, or he becomes victimized by her, or he just knows she's making me nuts, this is what women are like. I can't go anywhere near them because of my childhood with my mother. Let me just stay with the boys. I know I'll be safe. Because I can't play that out anymore. Very common. Women, when their husbands aren't around, will project their sexuality on their sons. Usually the oldest son. So, how do you think I look? Do you like me in this? Which has nothing to do with the son at all. But that's common. And then the ones that actually have sex with the son. Quite a few of those. These are made. That's how they get made. Not born, necessarily. I've seen many, many examples.
How the lesbian women that leave their marriage?
Well, that's... Now, with women, it's different. And I've seen lots of those. With the women that I've seen, I mean, generally 40s, 50s, 60s. They've been in a marriage that does not satisfy them, kind of in any way. Maybe not sexually, physically, maybe almost always not emotionally. Oftentimes these women are very spiritual people, because women are more spiritually inclined than men are in this day and age. So there's all these things that, well, I'm not getting my needs met physically, I'm not getting my needs met emotionally, I'm not getting my needs met spiritually. What am I doing? I've been in it for 20 years. Why am I doing this? Then they find a woman with whom they have a meeting of the minds. That's really what it's about. Those women who are not really lesbians become such later on, but it's not really about that as much as it's about the emotional connection and the loving reciprocation. And then if they're also spiritual, then we have all this to share. And then we may also include the physical. But it's generally different with them. I'm not saying there aren't young lesbians who... Yeah, sure, there are women that are born lesbians, no doubt. But I'm telling you, the vast majority of what I've seen, that's what I've seen in the last 20 years. I'm in this position, I'm in a kind of a unique position where I get to hear all this stuff from people that they would not normally talk about, you know. So that's how I see it. I take them as souls. You know, I look at them as souls, and what does this soul need, or how can I help this soul at this point in time and on the journey? You know, I don't really care what their orientation is. You know, I've dealt with rapists, murderers, and child molesters. Not a lot of those. They don't usually queue up to see me. But I've had a few. Anyway, so we're all souls on the journey. And we all need help. We all need understanding. We all need comfort. We all need recognition. This is a difficult journey. It is not easy. And we become confused. It's very easy to become confused in the material world. In fact, it's more easy to become confused than it is to gain clarity for most people. It's a simple fact.